Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Daniel is the owner of Quest Education, a company that helps entrepreneurs obtain capital for their companies, pay off high interest debt, and use self-directed retirement accounts to invest in alternative assets. With over 10 years of educating small business owners, Daniel has a knack for helping individuals get creative with their finances that lead to life-changing results. His story is unique in the sense he had a daughter when he was 19 years old and overcame an addiction to OxyContin shortly thereafter. Those two life-changing moments helped Daniel shape him into becoming the man he is today. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Sam, appreciate you having me. I don't know if anyone's told you this, but you got a DJ voice, bro. Like radio. I close my eyes and just like hear you on some like popular radio station, man. You got a killer voice. I'm not just trying to just blow smoke up you.
Oh, thanks, man. No, I appreciate that. I wish maybe, you know, I found a way to make money at it, but I have not. Alas, we're here doing a podcast and it's just a good time. So I appreciate the compliment. Hey, man, you know, I'm excited to have you on today. Just the pre-show, I get a lot of great energy out of you. I can tell that you love what you do and I can tell, you know, you're passionate about it. But if you don't mind, just give our listeners a brief overview of, you know, where'd you start? Where are you now? And quickly, just how did you get there?
Yeah. So for me, 18 years old, when I was 18, that was a big year. Three major life events happened. One, I dropped out of college. Two, I got addicted to OxyContin. And three, I got a woman pregnant. So 18 years old, welcome to adulthood. A lot of moving parts happening. And if we rewind, a lot of why I made some bad decisions when I was 18 was because of my childhood. You know, if we look at trauma and just adversity and anxiety or stress that you're facing right now, a lot of that can be attributed to our childhood, right? Like we're just molding when we're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, that area. So when I was 12, my parents got divorced. I know that's not special. However, what was unique about my situation is my dad actually ended up moving to Mexico when I was 12. They got divorced. My dad left. That was a heartbreak to me because my dad was like my soccer coach, my basketball coach. Like he was the man. We were really tight. And all of a sudden he was gone. And he was gone forever. Didn't have a lot of answers to all my questions. So now it's just me and my mom, you know, single mom in California, high cost of living. She's working all the time. I don't have a lot of supervision. So I'm making a lot of knucklehead choices, ditching school, getting the drugs. So it wasn't that surprising when I'm 18 years old that I'm lost, right? I don't know who I am. You know, I don't have core values. You know, I'm just looking at the wrong people and have that compass. So those mistakes that I made when I was 18, it definitely shaped me. I don't regret dropping out of college. The beauty of entrepreneurship, there's someone listening right now that's probably making a lot of money that is an entrepreneur. And they probably have people that work for them that have college degrees and they don't have a college degree, right? Like that's the beauty of entrepreneurship. So I don't regret that. I actually don't regret getting on drugs because as much as I know I hurt other people and I hurt myself, I learned a lot, man. Like getting addicted to OxyContin. For those that don't know, OxyContin is essentially heroin in the form of pills. It's some pretty gnarly stuff. And that taught me a ton about life and adversity. So getting clean off that was a journey in itself. And then I'm 32 years old. I've been clean over 10 years. My daughter's 12 years old. I wouldn't change that. You know, having a kid at 18, I was a kid having a kid. And I was really, really scared. However, I got to learn a lot about myself and, you know, having to grow up really fast.
Wow. That's wild. I don't know if I've ever heard, you know, anyone say that they're grateful even for the period of drugs in their life. But I guess if you've turned that into a positive, then, you know, why not? It's one of those, it's part of your story. So good for you for making that jump. Tell us, how did you get involved or how did you start? I'm not sure if you started Quest Education or not. What was that journey like? Educating yourself financially? I mean, the picture you painted was fairly bleak. Just like, all right, 18, making bad decisions, got a girl pregnant. Now you're on drugs. How do you go from there to here?
Yeah. So 18 years old, when I dropped out of college, a big reason why I did that is I found sales. I had no idea that I would actually do good in sales. I was selling real estate coaching at 18 years old. I made just a hair under $100,000 as an 18-year-old kid, 19 years old. I cracked the six-figure mark. So I started making a lot of, you know, real estate coaching. So, you know, infomercial leads, different biz op opportunities, teaching people how to make money with tax liens or trust deeds, things like that, tax deeds and things like, you know, not trust deeds, but tax deeds, things of that nature, but just selling on the phone. I didn't actually get in the nitty gritty and actually teach people. I'm selling the coaching, right? So it's just high paced, high flying sales floor. That was a big reason why I got addicted to OxyContin. You know, people listening to this right now that are around sales floors or different environments, there's some good ones out there. you know, that have good culture, good positive vibe, you know, clean. Unfortunately, you know, you watch Wolf of Wall Street, like that's real life. You know, there's a lot of that fast paced kind of stuff. And I got sucked in. So I'm making good money. However, I'm making bad decisions. I bought a house in 2008, right at the peak, right before the market crashed. You know, we know how that ends, right? I lost that house, made a really bad decision there. But making enough bad choices, Sam, you get to a point where like you touch the stove a certain amount of time, you burn yourself, right? Like I kept touching that stove. I kept living beyond my means. I kept, you know, not establishing credit, you know, not investing money. And, you know, I started looking at other people that were in the same kind of industry as myself. And I'm 20, but they're 30 and they're 40 and they're making good money. But I just don't see a lot of hope. You know, I don't see that they have really solid relationships. They're not in the best health. They don't have assets and passive income. Like they're just spending what they're making in 5K, 10K a week. Like they're just spending it. I'm like, I don't want that. And, you know, I know how it was affecting my bank account. So, and I started just really changing my habits. Once I got clean, I started saving a lot more than I was spending. I started building my credit. I started investing money. I was a 9-to-5, you know, quote unquote, 9-to-5 employee for a number of years and got to network and learn, you know, running sales floors and being in managerial positions and being around other culture and picking up things and being in the financial game since I was 18 years old. I started to learn a lot about self-directed retirement accounts and how people could access their retirement accounts penalty and tax-free. So I've been in this space now. I'm 32. I got in this space when I was about 23, 24. So I've been in the game for a little while now. And then 3 years ago, I went all in and bet on myself. I maxed out 0% credit cards. I put a bunch of my own savings into the business. And if you're listening to this, you can probably relate. Like there's a point where you bet on yourself, right? Like you go all in. You go all in on your hand. You don't know if it's the best hand. You don't know if you're going to win, but you just know what you don't want. And what you don't want is to work for someone else. Like you want to be the captain of your own ship and you're confident in your ability to make it happen one way or the other. And it hasn't always been pretty. There's been some challenging times where I'm like, dude, what am I doing? Am I going to shut business down next week? However, you know, you keep pushing and you find a way to make it happen.
Right, man. I love that. I love that. And the courage to do that. There's so many people that unfortunately will get to their 60s or 70s and say, I wish I had at 29. Taking that all in hand. What did Jim Rohn say? And I'm going to totally ruin the quote, but it's something like failure weighs ounces, but regret weighs tons or something to that effect.
Yeah. How dare you? How dare you misquote it? But I mean, like, it's still true what you're saying, right? Like we are going to regret it at the end of the day if we believe in our heart of hearts of actually doing it. And you know, that's the beauty of business, right? Like you have to be willing to take risks. And a lot of people aren't willing to take that risk. And that's why they're in the same position that they've always been in. And they wanted to make a change, but that risk is just holding them back.
What do you feel like some of the fruits of taking risk without knowing the reward have been for you?
One, I think it's important that people remember, like when you're scared of failing, when you're scared of taking that risk, like just remind yourself, like what's the worst that can happen? My worst case scenario is I know I could just go back to sales and I know I could sell anything, right? I can go to a plumbing company. I can go to a roofing company. Like I need to learn a little bit more about the knowledge and the actual product and service, but sales is still sales, right? It's communicating, it's listening, it's understanding, it's solving problems. I always knew that like worst case scenario, if I couldn't figure out this business stuff, I could just fall back. You know, I can just go back to where I was, right? So people lose sight of that. It's like, okay, if you lose, if you fail, you're just going to go back to where you were before, right? And it's like, okay, that's not as bad as you actually think it was, but it's still a big enough reason to make that change. That's why you're going all in. So the fruit is time freedom, right? Like we all want the same thing, whether you are selling commercial real estate, whether you're selling, you know, stuff online or, you know, you have a franchise, whatever your business is or whatever you're selling, whatever your project is, like you want time freedom, right? Like you want to be able to take your family on a vacation, be gone for 2 weeks if you want to in a random month, right? Like you just want to be able to do the things that you want to do when you want to do them. And you do have to have money to purchase time, right? You have to have some money coming in order to use that time as leverage to have time freedom. So, you know, I've been able to, you know, have some of that, not as much as I'd like. Obviously 3 years into a business, that's not a long time. I look at a business as a kid, a business as a human being. My business is a toddler. It's walking on its own, right? There's going to be some stumblings. You know, your three-year-old toddler hits his head on the coffee table, cries, right? Like that stuff's still going to happen. And you just got to remember, like, the longer you're in business, the more you can stay in your business. And, you know, your business starts to become 10 years old, 12 years old, gets a driver's license, becomes an adult, you know? So, you know, I'm getting more and more of that time freedom as I start hiring more, as I start delegating more, as I get more systems in place and then start building up my team.
We could take a left turn into that, but, you know, I think we talk about kind of those things, those topics quite a bit. I'd love more to focus on what your business does and how, really, before we even get into that, how you picked it.
Yeah. So when I started selling real estate coaching when I was 18 years old, I started surrounding myself with, you know, people talking about, hey, I just used my retirement account to flip a house. I just used my retirement account to buy a property. And that thought intrigued me because I always thought 401ks and IRAs were just for the use of stocks and mutual funds. I didn't think you could use a retirement account to purchase real estate, right? So now the term self-directed retirement accounts was planted in my head. That world fascinates me. Like, I'd love to get into that world at some point in time. And I'm not your typical individual from the financial space in the sense of, you know, most people that own financial companies, you know, they're college educated. They usually come, you know, a lot of them come from money, right? You know, family had money. They have a suit. They're 40, 50 years old, right? Like, I'm 32 years old. I'm a college dropout. And, you know, my family didn't come from money, right? But what I can say that's really helped me become who I am today is having relationships. Like, we're only one relationship away from leveling up, right? Leveling up your personal life, your financial life, your business life. You're only one relationship away. And that one relationship might not even be that one that opens up the door that gives you more business. That one relationship might introduce you to someone else. And that someone else introduces you to another person, right? And that one relationship was what got it going, right? So don't ever discount that. And for me, it was all about relationships. You know, as I started getting into the self-directed retirement account world, started meeting different people, and I had different opportunities to work for companies in the self-directed retirement account space. I was actually an employee in the self-directed retirement account world for a number of years, you know, before I actually opened up my own business 3 years ago. So, you know, we're able to, through Quest Education and my company, we're able to teach people how they can access money in their retirement account penalty and tax-free. And I thought that was so cool because here we're conditioned to think that retirement accounts can't be touched until we're old with a bunch of gray hair on our, you know, rocking chair on our front porch. And we can't touch the money until then. Or if we can touch the money earlier than that, we're going to pay 30% in penalties and taxes to the IRS.
Right.
That's not cool. Like, that doesn't sound fun. So what if there was a way to be able to access your own money that you worked for penalty and tax-free, and you wanted to use that money to maybe start a business or maybe invest into real estate or maybe, you know, pay off high interest rate credit card debt or invest into crypto, just doing things beyond buying Tesla stock or mutual funds, right? So we're just pulling back the curtain and teaching people, you know, IRS approved strategies to help people have more control and more freedom over their money.
Let me ask this, is your company solely on the education side?
Yeah. So we set up the accounts. We do all of the education. We teach people. The primary product that we help people with is called a solo 401k. We do some self-directed IRAs, but a ton of solo 401ks just because they're superior, in my opinion, to an IRA. They just have more bells and whistles. The con is they're not for everyone. What I mean by that is you have to be an entrepreneur with some kind of business activity going on, and you have no W-2 employees tied to that business. You can still be working for another company and have a solo 401k only as long as you have some kind of business activity going on without any W-2 employees tied to your business, right? So, you know, they're not for everyone, but for the people that qualify, they're an amazing account. They give you a ton of freedom, a ton of, you know, tax-free ability. So we do all of the education, the setup, and then we have a really big network of financial companies that we work with to, you know, help our customers solve different problems.
Right. So you guys are a custodian then as well?
No. So we're the buffer between the custodian and the actual customer. So funny thing about custodians, like a lot of custodians, they suck, to put it into clear terms. I'll tell a story. So my uncle, who I never knew had a self-directed retirement account, he watches one of my videos on Facebook and I'm talking about the solo 401k. I'm talking about how you can take a loan from the plan, penalty and tax-free, and then use that money to maybe pay off high interest rate credit card debt or any other debt, right? So he sees my video and he hits me up. He's just like, nephew, he's like, I have a self-directed IRA. Can I move this into a solo 401k and take a loan out and use that money however I want? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, can I do it with an IRA? I said, no, there's no loan feature on an IRA, but you can do it with a solo 401k. He's like, okay, cool. He's like, my money is held at Provident Trust Group. It's a custodian that we actually work with. And Provident Trust Group is a good company. They've been around for a long time. They've got billions of dollars under their umbrella, right? So they're not like some new company that just came out last year. And I was like, well, that's funny, uncle. Like the accounts that we help people set up, we send them to Provident Trust Group to open up their accounts. And he's like, what the heck? Like, why did the custodian teach me about a solo 401k? Like, that's not their job. Like, their job is just to have the license and they're there to hold the money like a bank. Right. So a lot of these custodians are super passive. They're in the background. They're holding the money like a bank. They're not doing a ton of customer service, a ton of education. Now, there might be some outliers out there, custodians out there that do a really great job on customer service and education. But for the most part, you know, I just see a big, big void that needs to be filled between the buffer of the customer and the custodial account. So we're not the custodian. We don't hold the funds, but we do a lot of the customer service or, you know, education for, you know, the different customers.
I would imagine out of the gate that would have been kind of a tricky space to figure out how you fill that void, right? But I mean, it sounds like you guys have figured that out because it is a void. I just educated my brother on this maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I was like, man, take some of your money and put it into a self-directed account. And he's like, what's that? I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. And he's like, man, everybody I talk to says this is like some voodoo, like weird stuff. And I'm like, no, like, yeah. It's pretty streamlined. Nobody came on this show to listen to me talk. I want to hear about the differences between a solo 401k and a self-directed IRA, because I'm not entirely clear.
Yeah, the big one is the loan feature. So an IRA, there's no loan feature. A solo 401k, there is. The loan feature allows you to take out 50% of the account value or $50,000, whichever number is less. And you can use that money however you want. You can use that money to pay off high interest rate credit card debt. You can use that money to start a business. Maybe you want to start a food truck business or an online business. You can use that money however you want. However, you do have to pay back the solo 401k within 5 years. And as long as you do that, then there's no taxable event. There's no penalty or taxes on the money you take out. And then there's an interest rate on the loan. Usually it's about prime plus two. So you're looking at about 5.25%. However, that interest goes back to the retirement account, goes back to the solo 401k. So you're paying yourself back the principal plus the interest. So that's a really big difference between the solo 401k and the IRA. And then another one is the contribution limits. Just like traditional self-directed IRA, you can contribute $6,000 per year if you're under 50 years old. If you're over 50, you can contribute $7,000 per year of new money. Whereas a solo 401k, depending on how much money your business brings in, you can contribute up to $58,000 per year if you're under 50, and then $64,000 a year if you're over 50. And what I love about those high contribution limits is you can contribute that money to the Roth portion of a solo 401k. And that comes in handy if you're listening to this right now and you're making multiple six figures a year. There's a good chance that you're not able to contribute money directly into a Roth IRA. The IRS says you make too much money. Whereas a Roth solo 401k, it doesn't matter. You could be making $1 million a year. You can still contribute into a Roth solo 401k. So imagine, you know, sticking $50,000 a year into a Roth solo 401k. And maybe for whatever reason, you didn't stick a lot of money into retirement accounts in your early years and you're getting a little older and you need to catch up. I mean, this is a great way to stick a good chunk of money every year and you're paying taxes on the seed, but the harvest is tax-free because it's Roth. So it's growing tax-free and you can invest your money wherever you'd like, crypto, precious metals, private lending, private equity, you know, just a lot of different options beyond what the stock market offers.
Begin to understand why those different programs are out there, but or why the nuance to each of them, it gets a little confusing, but that is really interesting. Yeah, that you can put $50,000, but it has to be in a company that has no employees.
Yeah. So, I mean, this works out really for people that are like real estate agents. Maybe you're a real estate agent right now and you make a good chunk of money every year, 1099, right? You're probably set up as a sole proprietorship or an LLC. If you structure it right and your business, quote unquote, your business makes enough money where you can pay yourself, you can take the income that you pay yourself and you can take a good chunk of that and shove it into a solo 401k. So if you're maybe a dentist or freelancer, you know, like if you get 1099 income and there's no W-2 employees, there could be 1099 contractors. Like You know, I know my team was just recently talking to someone that had a business that was just killing it, and their manpower was 1099 contractors. It wasn't W-2 employees, right? So if it's 1099, that works. Online businesses, consultants, freelancers, there's different types of people out there that have, you know, some kind of business activity going on that don't have a traditional W-2 employee setup.
Right, right. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Let's shift gears a little bit and kind of circle back to where we began this conversation. What do you think are some of the strategies that you've employed to win the hand that you've been dealt?
I have to say, it starts again when we're younger. And my mom, when my parents got divorced and my dad just abruptly left to Mexico without really giving me any answers on, you know, I just remember one day he was just like, hey, I'm going to go and drop your grandma off in Mexico. I'll be back. I'll see you soon. And I never saw him again. And I've since moved on and we're cool now. He still lives there. I forgave him. Like, you don't want to hold on to grudges. That's another lesson, right? Like, there's just, it doesn't serve anybody if you just hold on to resentment. And everyone has their own time to heal, right? But like, grudges aren't going to serve anybody. But going back to your question, and the reason I bring up my mom is because, you know, here my mom was working full time, you know, really wasn't getting any help from my dad that moved. And now she's just on her own, taking care of a rebellious pimple popping, puberty going through, you know, 12, 13 year old dude, right? And we all know that's just a recipe for, you know, it's just hard, right? So I never once saw my mom complain. Like, I never once saw her, you know, cry or get mad. She never talked bad about my dad. Like, she just kept trucking, dude. Like, she just kept working every single day. Like, she never called in sick. Like, she just showed up. And that set the tone, right? Like, that made me not want to have, and I didn't even know what this was at this time, but a victim's mentality. Like, right now, if you're listening to this right now, you know someone in your circle or your family or friends that's just always complaining. Like, it's always someone else's fault. Like, they don't take responsibility. Poor me. Why me? This sucks, right? And it's just like so toxic. And it's like, dude, you're being a victim. Like, take ownership, take responsibility, and do something about it. Right? The world keeps spinning. So that really set the tone for me because, as you know, as I was telling you, I went through a lot of adversity and a lot of it was self-inflicting, right? Like, no one made me get addicted to Oxycontin. Like, no one made me have a kid at 18, 19 years old. Those were choices, right? And we're a product of our choices, but you do have to get to a point where it's just like, okay, like, that's on me and I need to do better and I need to take ownership. You know, that's been really, really crucial for me because, as you know, and the listeners know, like, if you're running a business, like, everything falls on you. Like, it's all on you. The buck stops with you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's great advice. Yeah. Not taking the victim mentality is not a popular topic these days. Yeah. Well, I mean, and as we all know, being a victim neither serves you or the people that you claim, you know, have done you wrong. So
yeah, I mean, we all have a sad story, right? Like, sure. I'm not special. It's not like I went through these hardships that no one else has gone through. There's people that have done way better than me and are winning way more in life than me. And that went through harder stuff than me, right? So like, we're not special, right? Like, we all have a sad story. It's just a matter of how are you going to use that sad story? You're going to use it as motivation, as a turning point to do better in this world and impact more and win more, or are you going to use it as an excuse to keep you down?
Right, right. Man, I love that. Daniel, thank you for taking the time today to really share your backstory, share, you know, the lessons you've learned, both the easy and the hard ways, sharing the stories of what it takes to launch a business and, you know, the growing pains that are found inside of that. I've got four questions for you. The same questions I ask everybody who comes on the show. They are real estate related questions. Are you ready?
Let's roll.
First question is this. If I gave you just $20,000 to invest in real estate with no previous real estate investing experience, what would you do with it and why?
I probably would invest into a real estate mastermind. You know, I've invested a lot of money in masterminds, and going back to relationships, man, like, relationships are, to me, the most valuable resources that are out there. It's more valuable than Bitcoin, more valuable than really any resource out there. Relationships, it's a currency. And to me, it's the most valuable currency. So I would pay to get in a room full of just a bunch of high level people that are making moves, making deals happen. And, you know, as long as I can bring value to that room and do the work, I'm going to make that money back.
Love it. If you could help our listeners to avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
What's your exit strategy? Like, how long are you going to hold this asset? Like, you know, I told you the story about when I bought my property in 2008. Bought it at the high, you know, at the high point. I was 19 years old, making a bunch of money. I'm like, okay, I'm making $2,000-$3,000 a week. Let's buy a house. That sounds cool. I had no plan of, okay, you know, I'm buying at a high point in the market, but I'm going to hold on to this asset for 10 years. I don't care if the market takes a crap, because what I care is just on paper. I'm the gain or the loss isn't realized. I'm not selling. You know, some, I didn't think this through, right? So, you know, just know what's your exit strategy and your time horizon, right? Because if you're going to hold on to an asset, whether it's crypto, stocks, real estate, precious metals, if you know how long you're going to be in and out of that asset, who cares if there's some bumpy, you know, some turbulence along the way, right?
When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
I'm focusing on my ecosystem, you know, focusing on my team, my employees. I've got 13 of them. You know, I want them to be better, wiser, smarter, make more money, happier. The better your employees are, the happier they are, the better work they're going to do for customers, right? And as a business, your reputation, your name, your customer experience is everything. And you can only go so far as a solopreneur. Eventually you need to delegate, you need to hire, you need to have managers, you need to have teams, and you need to have a really awesome culture. So, you know, right now I'm really focused on growing this business and empowering my team and seeing them level up so I can keep growing this thing.
Daniel, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
DanielBlue.me. That website has all information about me. It's got a link to my podcast, How Winners Win. It's got a link to my book. My book just came out a couple of weeks ago, hit bestseller on Amazon. It's called Blueprint to Your Best Retirement. So a lot of what we talked about is solo 401k, self-directed. I wrote a book that's just super short, super straightforward, simple, easy to the point. I didn't use a lot of, you know, hard to understand lingo. I wanted to dumb it down and make it nice and simple for anyone to just pick it up and be able to take away some tactical, actionable information. And then it's gone to my website, DanielBlue.me. It's B-L-U-E, just like the color. It's got links to all my social media handles as well.
Daniel, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.